Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, a little stuffy, yes, I know, from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 1st, 2013, episode 585, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
You sound like a little kid when you're stuffy.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Well, good God Almighty, this week's been 2 months long. Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. It is Freestyle Friday, and it sounds like we got Jamie back. Welcome back there, Jamie.
Thank you. I'm barely here, hanging on by a thread. Being a pregnant woman and being sick sucks, and let me tell you why. And not just that you're pregnant and you're sick. Those two combined items should be enough. But you can't take any medicine. They won't let you take any. I would kill for an Advil right now, and you can't even take that.
I don't remember pregnant women not being allowed to take medicine. Is that a new thing?
Have you ever been pregnant?
No, that's
exactly.
True.
Exactly. Thank you. No, the only thing I could take is Tylenol during the day. Tylenol. Like, what a worthless drug that is. And then Benadryl at night. So Tylenol and Benadryl does not make your stuffy nose go away or does not make your headache go away. They're pretty much worthless. Benadryl just makes you sleep. That's the only good redeeming quality of that. Otherwise, I've been just suffering through this, taking care of the farm. My husband is still out of town. I'm sick. I'm pregnant. We had 5 days of rain in a row, by the way. So my farm
in
was
Arizona?
Flooded.
In
yes. It was crazy. It rained on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And so I've had a flooded farm. I've had muddy horses. I've had just stalls that are just, because when you have the type of stalls that I have that are like outdoor stalls with just covers, they get soaked. They get flooded too. I've been working my butt off, and I'm so glad that he's coming home tomorrow because I have a list for him, okay, that is a mile long. Welcome home. Do your chores.
Now, did you get this flu that you got here? Did you get it when you went to Vegas, or did you never go to Vegas?
Oh, I went to Vegas. And as I arrive in Vegas, Chad goes, oh, I think I'm coming down with something. I'm getting sick. I'm like, that would have been good information 4.5 hours ago before I left my house, knowing that I would too get sick and then I can't take any medicine while you're taking medicine. So, yeah, I got it from him. And actually, his whole entire squadron, how can you not get sick in Vegas? Vegas is like the germiest place there is. So, yeah, I got it from him. It's all his fault. And I've been suffering with it. And he does feel really bad. He's like, I can't believe I'm not there. But whatever. I don't care. You're a jerk.
Pregnant, sick woman. Like a pregnant woman isn't bad enough. A pregnant, sick woman's even worse.
Oh, it's the wrath he has to face.
Well, you know, we were very careful when we were at the at Ada last weekend. I washed my hands 1,000 times during the day. I wasn't shaking as many hands of people that, you know, you'd normally shake everybody's hand. And I noticed other people weren't offering their hand either. It was all kind of like, you know, everybody had little red, skull and crossbones on their chests. And so I think I think everybody was conscious of the various diseases going around. And apparently the one that the stomach one is like terrible. It's like the one they get on those cruise ships. That's been making its way around too.
I know. My friends just came back from a cruise and they all were sharing a room and with one toilet. And they said they were all throwing up at the same time. They were like banging down the door to like throw up next to each other. So I know it could. I guess it could be worse. I could have a stomach flu.
Well, there. That's something to start off your morning, there, everybody. I do want to talk to you though a little bit later. Did you get to watch the new Budweiser video yet?
Listen, why don't you just let me do my daily winning?
Okay, all right, we'll do. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, it is really, really freestyle today, in case you haven't noticed. But we have also got Dressage Masters Update, compliments of Mary Lawrenson. We've got many freestyle fantastic feature stories and some really good headlines. And really bad ads accounts for a minimum of 20 minutes of actual entertainment. So tuck in your earbuds good and tight, folks, because the circus is about to begin.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my Daily Winnie today goes out to a six-year-old girl from Whitney Point, New York, by the name of Maddie Georgia. Maddie has been saving her pennies and her dimes and her dollars for apparently years. From the time she was just a little baby till she started collecting money. And what she wanted to buy was an elephant and a dolphin, a real elephant and a real dolphin. And apparently she's been saving her money so she could buy a real elephant and a real dolphin. Well, her mom read this story about the Morton County Sheriff's Department that they seized 119 horses from a farm, and they're like 38 horses were alive. There were 99 dead horses on the farm, and it was just a mess. And this was in North Dakota. Well, she told little Maddie about this, and Maddie said, apparently Maddie got really upset because she's a horse girl. She loves horses and ponies. And she told her mom that she was going to send all of the money to save those horses in North Dakota. And apparently mom tried to talk her out of it and said, look, you've been saving this money all this time to do something, you know, for yourself, to buy a dolphin. And the girl said, nope, I'm going to send it. So she went out and she got her box of money and they counted it up. And then they sent a check out to the Triple H Miniature Horse Rescue, where 25 of the worst horses from this case were taken. And they sent $177 of Maddie's money. And Triple H Horse Rescue sent her a thank you note with pictures of a dolphin and an elephant. And apparently when she got the thank you note, apparently Maddie cried and everything. So she knows that she did something good in trying to save these animals. So that's what my Daily Winnie is out to Maddie, Georgia, for doing a good thing.
Aw, that is so sweet.
I know that that's sweet. I know. That's a sweet story. That's a positive story.
Well, I have two Daily Winnies, and the first one is going to go to a couple horses. One named Neville Bardos. Of course, that is the horse that Boyd Martin rescued. Basically, he rescued him from the killers, you know, and made him into this four-star amazing event horse. And then after that, rescued him from the fire. That's the one that they ran in. He and Philip Dutton ran in and grabbed Neville and pulled him out of the barn fire. Well, he and another horse that you've all heard of named Theodore O'Connor, Teddy O'Connor, which of course was Karen O'Connor's Rolex Mount 14 one-hand Shetland Arabian Thoroughbred cross, who was just an absolutely phenomenal event horse before he sadly passed away from a freak accident. Well, those two horses are getting honored. They just recently established a Horse Stars Hall of Fame, the Equus Foundation, and the USEF to celebrate extraordinary talent of horses and the magical and powerful bond between horses and people. And I can't imagine that two horses have more of a bond with people. Teddy with with Karen, of course, but with the entire public. And the same with Neville was with Boyd. So they both get my daily Winnie because they're going to be Horse Stars Hall of Fame inductees. Congratulations.
Woohoo! I remember being at Rolex and when Teddy was there, and that's all anybody wanted to see that year was Teddy. Everybody would follow Teddy around. That was he was definitely the star, no question about it.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And
oops, sorry.
No, I was just gonna say you're right. Everybody, he was, but he was so such a phenomenon to watch. Just such a little freak to run down there and jump these big jumps. I remember him going through the water jump. We were like, he made that look easier than any other horse did. I mean, it was amazing. Anyway, my next daily Winnie goes to Don Deems, Unni Shepherd, Robin Donaghy, Glenn, and everybody else who has posted for me to see the new Budweiser commercial. And I'll tell you why. Because every single one of you individually made me cry. Oh, my God. The best Budweiser commercial of all time. I'm getting a little teary-eyed just thinking about it. Okay, it starts out with a little guy, and he has to raise the full. And by the way, the guy in the Budweiser commercial is hot. So he's like this young, hot guy. He raises this full up. They show him, like, fooling him and then bottle feeding him and training him, hooking him up. It takes him all the way through his entire life. And finally, Budweiser comes calling. He gives him to the Budweiser people, and he's now a famous Clydesdale. Well, Budweiser comes to his town, to the Clydesdale Zoo. So he goes out and he sees them, and he's standing in the parade line, and he's watching him from the side of the road. He knows it's him. The horse looks at him, whatever. They go to untack the Budweiser horse. At the same time, said guy is going to get in his car and is driving down the road. And the horse runs away and goes galloping down the road. And he stops his truck and he gets out and he hugs him. And he's like, they meet. And, oh, it was just such a beautiful thing. Okay, fan my eyes.
Now we got a pregnant, sick, crying woman. It's getting better as the horse goes along.
Oh, it's so good. I loved it. I'm so excited for the Super Bowl to watch it on the big screen instead of my stupid little iPhone. Oh, so good. So good.
It was. I enjoyed it, too. It was pretty good. Do you know who trained the horses for this commercial?
Who?
Tommy Turvey did.
He did. He trains everything.
Yeah, the entertainer. So, yeah, he did apparently the training for this commercial. Yeah, and you know,
Tommy Turvey did not train it. The guy in the commercial trained the horse, okay? He raised him from a foal and trained him himself. Come on, Glenn. Don't steal it.
Sorry about that. Hey, you missed it on Wednesday when we made the announcement that coming up on Wednesday, February 13th, we're starting a new segment on the Horses in the Morning Show that you're absolutely going to love because you get to win more cool stuff. It's called the Wheel of Trivia, and it's going to happen at the beginning of every Wednesday show. You just call in. We're going to ask you one trivia question. If you get it right, we're going to spin the super fancy casino wheel here at the Horse Radio Network Studios, and it's going to have all kinds of cool prizes on it. We had so many companies last week wanting to donate prizes for the Wheel of Trivia, so you'll be able to win some really cool stuff. I'm talking up to even blankets and gift certificates, just all kinds of stuff on the Wheel of Trivia. We'll be announcing more about that over the next week and a half. So every Wednesday, you have to keep 9 to 9:30, a half hour open, so you can call in and play the Wheel of Trivia. It should be a lot of fun. So I know you missed that announcement on Wednesday, so I thought I'd say it again.
Well, I just understand that you didn't like the name that I gave for the Wheel of Trivia. My beginning of the Wheel of Fortune, every time they're like, and now it's time for Wheel of Fortune. I wanted to call it Wheel of Horses.
The only problem I had with that is I thought people would think we were giving away horses. And, you know, you collect so many that we could probably do that and you wouldn't miss any. But the shipping, and you know, shipping was going to be an issue. And then you got all the health stuff. So that was the only concern I had about the Wheel of Horses.
I would spin a wheel of horses and see what I win. What did I get? You got a Shetland pony. Yay!
You know, we were talking about it on Wednesday, and when they used to do that's the Price is Right. Which one was it, Jennifer?
Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal, and they used to open the curtain. There was a donkey. We can't do that because people would actually want the donkey. That's not like a consolation prize.
That's not very nice.
I always wanted a donkey when I watched it as a little kid.
I want the donkey. We're the only ones that would want a donkey. So, oh well. We'll have to do something different for the consolation prizes.
Well, we'll see.
a couple of things in the news that I thought were kind of funny. And I'm going to read the news stories this week or today. We're like, oh my gosh, I just have to read this because there's no other way to tell this story. So here we go. Are you ready for one out of California? This is Happy Valley, California. Now, it's Happy Valley, California. That's the name of the place.
Uh-oh.
And here we go. The sheer size of horses make them hard to steal. But a woman in Happy Valley woke up to find someone trying to steal some of her horses right out of her front yard. Margaret Bullock woke up around 2 a.m. one morning to people trying to sneak her horses into a waiting truck. The thieves had cut the fence and already had ropes around two of their heads when she caught them. Get this line. She chased after them and set her dogs on them, one of which came back with a piece of jeans in his mouth.
Yeah.
I hope it was a pit bull.
That's a dog's dream. Get him!
I just thought that was funny. And the dog came back with a piece of jeans in his mouth. Yes!
Oh my gosh. You know, that's like my worst nightmare is to what would you do? You know, somebody's got your horse in the trailer. Yeah, I would say, okay, get him, you guys. And Boomer would run up and like wag his tail, wag his butt and start licking everybody. And he'd be like, yeah, we'll get him. Zenyatta would probably flop over on her back and be like, rub my belly. Yeah, it'd be worthless. Would you,
I know
have
what
you
they
ever
did.
Had a dog that would go get somebody?
Jennifer? No. No, we've never had a very threatening dog. And our greyhound, you know, our greyhound would run the other direction and we'd never see her again. Wouldn't
really?
In Florida, that's why everybody, in Florida, they just shoot them first. I mean, there's, yeah.
The bad guys, not the dogs.
Yeah, they So I thought that was kind of fun, kind of funny story.
Well, that's
fantastic. Couple other ones. 272 horses were nominated to the Dubai World Cup. Last year's winner, Monterosso, and 272 horses from 15 countries have been nominated for the Dubai World Cup, which has a purse of $10 million. It will run on March the 30th at the maiden race course in Dubai. And there are eight other races on the card, totaling $27 million. All the 184 nominations for the World Cup were from the United Arab Emirates, of course, followed by 27 from the U.S., including U.S. nominees, 2011 Kentucky Derby winner, Animal Kingdom, two-time Eclipse winner, Royal Delta. Then we have the duo of Delahan and Little Mike, who are doing very well right now. Have been invited, and both are expected to prep for the World Cup and head over there. Other countries with World Cup nominees are South Africa with 18, Japan 11, Great Britain 7, Ireland 5, Hong Kong 4, and then it just goes on and on and on. So there, we're hoping to see a good running by some of the American horses over there to take some serious dollars home.
Wow, that's going to be huge. What, that's like a who's who of racing right there.
Yes. And, you know, I don't even think they bet, do they, Jennifer? I don't know that they're allowed to bet at the racetrack, are they?
I don't think they have parimutuel betting, no. I could be wrong. Okay, listeners, educate us.
I bet that you can bet on it here in America.
True. Yeah, I bet you can. Speaking of betting, were you too sick? Did you get to do any blackjack while you were in Vegas?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's the one thing that I did do, and this was incredibly exciting because Chad wasn't feeling good, and the only place we could find that wasn't really smoky was to go to some pretty fancy sports books. And what the sports book are, for those that don't know, is any sporting event or activity that you could possibly think to bet on is in this one big room, and there's TVs everywhere, all over the walls, and there's like TVs, like individual little TVs in your booth right in front of you. It is the sportsman's paradise. And it is also the horse lover's paradise when you like to bet on racehorses. So we went to the sports book Saturday and Sunday and bet. We played the ponies, if you will. And I would like to point out that still, my love of the breed of thoroughbred and my passion for the breed of thoroughbred does not at all make me good at betting on the thoroughbred. It's pretty embarrassing, actually. But we were betting mainly at Santa Anita because it was the West Coast, and timing-wise, it just worked out that those were the races that were still going. And Santa Anita is such a beautiful place, and they have so many horses and jockeys and owners and trainers that we all talk about on here all the time. So I was picking names based on, oh, I know that guy, or I've read a story about that guy, or I recognize that horse. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I have a sure thing. There is a sure thing, without a doubt, sure thing that I was about to bet on. It was a recent four-year-old, I cannot remember her name right now, I'm sorry, 4 years old, her first race ever, maiden race, so it means she's never raced, she's 4 years old, she's trained by John Sheriff, and she's owned by Jerry and Ann Moss. I mean, that's a sure thing in my book. If you're not recognizing those names, those are the owners and trainer of Zenyatta. So I'm like, woo-hoo! This is it. I'm about to cash in. I'm going to put everything on this horse because she's obviously going to win. Lo and behold, the track is sloppy. It's raining. And they freaking scratch her right before the race. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But, again, love John Sheriff, love the Mosses. The conditions were not perfect, so they did not run her, and I appreciate that, but I was totally bummed. I was like, whoa, this is the one time I'm going to win some money. And I get to bet on John Sheriff's horse, Jerry Ann Moss, the owner's, his horse's first run. This is so ebullient. This is so Zenyatta. This is so perfect. And no, I pretty much just donated money to the Caesar's Palace Sportsbook and Casino.
Not the way it always works.
It's embarrassing because you think, Chad's like, okay, please stop picking the horses that you think are pretty. He's like, you have to do something else. Because you pick the ones that you think are pretty and they end up being very slow.
Okay, but now the real truth is the something else that a lot of these people like Chad do doesn't win them any more than you. Picking pretty names.
You know what? I gotta tell you, Chad is such a math guy. He's such a math guy. And so what he started doing was looking up fractions and times. He got so into this, Glenn, because he just was sitting there and he had nothing else to do except for read the programs and started. He's like, look at this one ran this one ran 5 furlongs in under a minute and the bullet work and blah blah blah. I start explaining what bullet works were, and then he's like looking for all the bullet works and all this, and he was so into it, and he won race after race after race, and I lost race after race. I lost so bad that we lost money collectively as a team, even though he won like everything.
Well, something else that is going on right now is dressage here in Florida. It's the kicking off of the serious dressage competitive season down in Wellington. And a big thing that happened last weekend was the World Dressage Masters. And Mary Lawrenson, who's a regular here on the Horses in the Morning show, our young rider out of Boston, is down for the season in Florida. And she did a report for the Dressage Radio Show with Reese and Philip, and I thought we'd let everybody get a little taste of dressage and what was happening down there in Florida last weekend. So you want to take a listen. Jamie, you can go get a drink and try and keep your voice going for really bad ads later in the show. So we'll take a break and listen to this report about the World Dressage Masters.
Well, we're really happy to have Mary Lawrenson on the Dressage Radio Show, finally, to have her on our show. She's a good friend of the Horse Radio Network. And Mary, you went to the Masters and also the GDF, the Global Dressage Forum, North America. So we are looking forward to hearing about, if we can start with the Masters, can you tell us and all our listeners a little bit about what happened at the Masters?
Sure. Well, I only attended the freestyle night of the Masters. The evening kicked off with a demonstration of Edward Gall with his partner, Hans-Peter Minderhoff. And they did a really interesting demonstration just showing their techniques and also for those in the audience that weren't familiar with the Grand Prix dressage test, they went through all the movements. So we did have an opportunity to see Hans ride Edward Gall's horse. Interfor, next one, I believe it was. And unfortunately, Edward had to scratch due to a flu, and Hans was having some apparent issues with his horse. So both of them scratched for their competition, but we were really lucky that we at least got to see some of their technique and riding at the beginning of the evening. And then we just had a really great list of riders that rode through the evening. My favorite, of course, was the winner, which was Tina Wilhelmsen and her horse Don Aurelio, and she just had a spotless test, one that, you know, was definitely in a class of its own. So the Swedish did very well at this competition, including Patrick Tittle, who was also here competing. I also saw some riders that I hadn't seen perform before that were here from Europe. Of course, I'm a huge fan of Stefan Peters, and he had a fantastic test as well on his new mount, Legolas. So there were some really great rides for everybody to see that evening.
For somebody that wasn't there, can you tell us, I'm interested in the training session before the competition. Can you tell
sure.
us maybe something that you took away from it or something that you gleaned from how they ride and train?
I would say, you know, that they tend to ride their horses a little bit deeper and rounder at the beginning. So they showed just a very basic warm-up and then ran through the Grand Prix. I would say, though, one of the things I probably took away from it was just the intense attention to detail, which we all obviously strive for. But watching these two and watching the Dutch system, obviously they've done very, very well throughout the years. You could see just the attention to detail, and Hans, you know, would maybe make a mistake, and while him and Edward were working together, they would go right back to the movement and drill it over again and then show, you know, exactly what they corrected. For instance, the pirouettes on the center line from the Grand Prix, you know, the horse stepped out, and then he would immediately bring the horse right back to it. I would say probably the biggest thing to note was just their attention to detail and the repetition of the movements if it wasn't 100%.
No, I think that's such a good observation, too, because Mary, at the trainers' conference with Stefan Peters the week before, he was the same way. He was absolutely spot on with details, and I think that was one of the things that I took away. So it's interesting that, you know, here you have a different camp. With Hans-Peter and with Edward, and, you know, seeing the same thing is just another good reminder for all of us. Attention to detail, that's where we get our points. So can you talk a little bit, for people that weren't there, about the atmosphere of the Masters?
The atmosphere was good. I've been lucky enough to attend the last three Dressage Masters that have been held in Wellington. It was a little bit disappointing because the seats were not full. Last year, they definitely had more of a crowd, and so it was a bit of a shame to see that, especially some of the VIP tables that are quite expensive, were not full this year. And I had heard complaints leading up to the competition, you know, that the tickets are very expensive, and to put on such a big show, of course, they need that sort of income to really make the production go smoothly and look beautiful, but there were definitely more people this year that opted not to come and watch the evening.
Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we talk a lot about Kentucky Performance Products, and that's because they are a name you can trust to give you the most value for your supplement money. Kentucky Performance Products offers supplements designed to target specific problems that are made with high-quality ingredients included at effective levels. The company's supplements are intended to complement, not compete, with your dressage horse's current feeding program, guarding against oversupplementation, and each product is backed by sound research and a money-back satisfaction guarantee. And today, we'd like to talk to you about Nalox, the original equine antacid. It's recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen as a way of maintaining a healthy stomach, which reduces the risk of ulcers. Nalox can be given daily to horses exposed to stressful conditions or as needed when shipping, competing, or during stall confinement. You know, you can learn about Nalox and all the products at Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. Well, we're back here at Horses in the Morning, and we're live today. And Jamie is back with her nasally, cold-sounding voice. But I'm still glad you're here, Jamie.
Well, you know, I just didn't think I could make you do it alone one more time. You know, Jennifer gets mad every time I don't show up because then she has to talk, and she hates that. And it just causes problems. So I'm sucking it up for you guys.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Jennifer did a great job on Wednesday. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I have another story
that,
before we get to our next interview. I have another story for you. I'm just going to read this one. This is another one I can't just tell you about. I have to read it. This is in Boaz, Alabama. Boaz police say a man injured in a wreck stole an ambulance after being transported to the emergency room. The initial wreck happened Friday in Sardis. Investigators say the man, 24-year-old Matthew Todd of Boaz, was intoxicated at the time of the crash. Yeah, no kidding. Authorities say Todd convinced the staff at the hospital to go outside for a smoke break, but ditched the cigarette and just made for a break for the ambulance that was already running. He got the ambulance stuck at the end of Bernard Street, and after that, he entered a barn and connected pasture and tried to saddle two horses. It said Boaz police chief. When that failed, he stole an SUV and crashed it and totaled it, and then he stole a second car and drove it home where they found him on the couch.
Are you kidding me? He was in an accident, transported to the ER, walked outside, stole an ambulance. He drove the ambulance until he got it stuck. Then he tried to tack up two horses, and that failed. And then he went running, stole an SUV, totaled that, got another car, drove it home.
Yes.
That guy really wanted to get home.
There's a one-man demolition squad.
Good Lord. People need to, in Boaz, you need to start locking your cars, people, and locking your gates.
I know.
Apparently,
and you know, the ambulance drivers do that because who's going to steal an ambulance? They just leave it running in case they have to, you know, head out for the next one.
It's crazy. It's like turning off your diesel truck. You know, you don't do it. You just leave it running. Who's going to mess with you? Well, apparently, Matthew Todd of Boaz, he'll take your stuff. Oh, my God. Wow. What a loser.
Yeah. Well, one more story for you.
This one's not quite as funny.
Which one? Which one are you going to do?
Oh, I thought you were doing the milk one in Kazakhstan.
Yeah, that is the one I'm going to do for you. Because Jennifer's like, I couldn't get past the title of this story. I didn't even want to read it. But apparently, in Kazakhstan, they are really, really into mare's milk because they say it's very healthy and it does a lot of different things for you. Well, apparently, they ferment it a tiny bit. Now, we all know what rotten milk smells like, number one, and all of us have accidentally tasted milk that's just going a little bit bad, and it's just awful. Right. Well, apparently they drink this fermented mare's milk, and it's called kumis, K-U-M-I-S. And they're starting to discover that this kumis might actually be good for a lot of things. So the college over there, which I'm not even going to try and say, Al-Farabi Kazakh National University, have invented a new soap containing this fermented mare's milk. And they have a new line of natural soaps. Well, apparently this is not unusual because in Canada, there's a company that is that has been making soap and saying that there's a secret ingredient that they discovered on Mongolia's wild steppes. And they sell this for $10 a bar, the super-duper will-cure-anything soap in Canada. Well, guess what? It's made with fermented mare's milk.
Oh.
So they've already been selling it. But apparently, it's a lot less fatty than cow's milk, and they say that it contains beneficial antioxidants that protect against disease and boost the immune system. And last year, scientists in Kazakhstan even promised to develop a mare's milk-based medicine to treat tuberculosis. So, it might not be all out there, but, yeah. So you can buy some of this soap. It's only $2.50 if you buy it from the university. If you don't get it from Canada, $10 a bar.
Well, of course, you have to go to Kazakhstan to get it. Now, if I recall, if this is supposed to be good for women's faces and their skin and everything, I recall watching Borat. We've all seen Borat, right? Which is Sacha Baron Cohen's movie about he lived in Kazakhstan. And the women in Kazakhstan were not the most attractive of women in that movie. So I'm thinking if they're using the mare's milk, I'm staying away from it. Because they did not have the best skin.
Now, you're not looking at this correctly. You know, their horses cannot be any really different than our horses. I see a entrepreneurial opportunity here for you and I. We can just get mare's milk here from our horses. I mean, our horses can't be any different than their horses. And we can make our own line, complete line of products. We can sell it on QVC and become rich.
I think that I'm going to let you do that, and I'm going to watch you.
What, you don't want to be around a whole bunch of fermented mare's milk?
I don't want to be around mares, first of all. No offense to mare people, but I have 6 geldings on my property. I am pretty much, I'm sold on the male horses. So the mares, if I bring one in, it's just going to cause problems. The geldings are all going to fight. And I don't want to milk anything. Plus, my next door neighbors are so weird that they drink their goat's milk raw. They drink their cow's milk raw. They milk it and then they drink it. It's really disgusting. And they do it with their kids and everything. They make everybody drink this milk. If they find out about mare's milk, they're going to start getting horses. And then there's going to be horses they're milking every morning with their little milking machine. It's just going to get weird. So I'm going to not tell them about this story and avoid it like the plague. And you go ahead and drink horse milk.
I don't know that I've ever had cow's milk straight up, but we did have goat's milk one time straight up at a farm we were at. It tasted pretty good, actually. It wasn't warm. You know, they had chilled it. You know, it wasn't warm. Jennifer, do you remember that when we went up to Mark's place, we had goat's milk?
I'll pass on the goat's milk. Yuck.
Oh, I guess she didn't like it.
Yeah.
No.
I don't really like goat cheese, so I'm probably not going to like goat's milk.
Oh. How can you not like goat cheese?
Because it tastes like
cheese
dirt.
Is good. Goat milk needs to be made into cheese. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm just one of those people that doesn't like that stuff. So goats, you know what? You're cute. They're on the other side of the fence. But no, it's really can be pretty toxic if you get some that's been not. I mean, it's not. What do they call it? What's the word?
Fermented. Pasteurized. Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Hey, we did have a good time, though, last weekend. We missed you over at the ADA trade show, but we got an interview that I wanted to play for you this morning that was fascinating. We met an absolutely cool guy who's been in the Western fashion industry forever. His name is Keith Mundy, and he's the president of the American Hat Company. And I don't know if you saw the picture, Jamie, but I got to wear a $2,000 cowboy hat.
Yeah, I saw that picture. What were you doing? I wouldn't have even put that on my head.
He said I could, but he didn't let me take it out of the booth, let me tell you. I didn't know they had $2,000 cowboy hats, and Keith explained to us why there are $2,000 cowboy hats. So you want to hear about that? Well, let's take a listen to that right now. And we'll be back for Really Bad Ads after we learn a little bit about cowboy hats. Cowboy hats. 101 with Keith Mundy. Well, this is Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Coach Jen, and we are at the American Equestrian Trade Association Conference in Philadelphia, highlighting some great companies and great products. Woohoo! We have Keith Mundy here, who is the president of the American Hat Company, and we're talking cowboy hats, really nice cowboy hats.
Cowboy hats, yeah, yeah. That's the fun thing about being in the cowboy hat business. I mean, there's lots of people that wish they could wear a hat every day, you know, so I'm pretty lucky that I get to wear a hat every day that I go to work.
Well, and there's some people that look really good in cowboy hats and some people that look like fakers, and you look really good in a cowboy hat. So.
Well, thanks. I'll take
I'm the faker.
You know, I'll take that in the right way. But I think anybody really, I mean, it's just as long as it's shaped right. And it's
that is the important part, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got to fit your face, and you got to get it professionally shaped and done right. You know, but when you put a hat on that's just straight off the rack, it looks like it's straight off the rack.
We had fun. We have family reunions with my brothers. I have three brothers and their wives. And every year we get together someplace different. We went to Nashville, and we went to one of the big hat stores in Nashville. And we spent literally 4 hours finding a hat that fit each one of us. And it was true. We tried on tons of hats. But when you put that one on, you go, that's my hat.
Yeah, that's it. And,
yeah.
You know the right shape and everything else. I have a friend in Hollywood, California, that flies to Texas and gets his hats, you know, fitted and done exactly the way he wants them. He has the brims cut down and he has them professionally shaped, and they look like $1 million on him.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
My background, I mean, I started way a long time ago. I started with Miller International, Cinch, Kruger, Rockies,
yeah,
and selling clothes. And I've always worn American hat. And so when my time with Cinch and Kruger was up, I called Keith Maddox, the guy who owns American Hat Company. And he wasn't quite ready for me at the time, and he said, you know, give me a year, and we'll see what we can do in a year, because he was rebuilding and repositioning the company. He had bought it and moved it from Conroe down in Houston back up to Bowie, and he needed some time. So a year later to the day, we got together, and here I am in the hat business.
Well, now, we learned a lot talking to you yesterday. And by the way, I got to wear a $2,000 cowboy hat, which, one, I didn't even know existed. Okay,
oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
the first thing. But I thought I looked pretty good in my $2,000.
You looked sexy.
I did. That's my wife speaking there, though. She's the only one saying that.
That was not a random person walking past.
Yeah, Keith wasn't
saying
that.
That was not me.
There are, what I didn't realize is that the different shapes of hats, there are different shapes of hats for different disciplines within the Western world.
Well, yeah, and that's what's fun about it now, is that the bull riders, you know, the these young bull riders, they're even bringing back some of the retro styles from the 70s and the taller
bell
crown.
Bottoms?
Yeah, they don't have bell bottoms.
No,
stuff,
the bell bottoms.
Okay.
No, but in the hats, they're going with some of those guys are going with taller crowns. There's a shape called the Cool Hand Luke, which is a real popular shape right now with the young PBR guys and the PRCA guys. And so they've kind of really brought that back. And now there's a black and white hat that we do that a lot of the guys are wearing. And as soon as they look around those trendsetters, as soon as they look around and see them, other guys wearing their hat, then they want something new. So we always are kind of evolving and coming up with the next new thing.
And with you
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to wear a felt hat after Labor Day? Is there a strict rule with the felt hat versus the straw hat summer winter thing?
Well, I mean, that used to be kind of the rule of thumb, but you know, I have a good friend, Chris Cox, and he wears.
Chris has been on our shows.
Yeah, he wears a American felt hat 100% of the time. He didn't wear a straw hat. And I'll switch back and forth between straw and felt, you know, summer and winter, but not everybody does. We sell straw hats all year long. We were actually in the Stetson Apparel booth. The American hats were in the Stetson Apparel booth at NFR this year. And the owner of the Stetson Apparel, when I presented him with the idea of selling some straw hats at NFR, he said, no way.
People don't buy those.
No, he said, we're not going to sell any straw hats. It's NFR. It's December. This is felt hat season.
But it is in Vegas where it's warm.
Yeah, but, you know, so we convinced him. And he came by about the second day, and he said, this is not an apology. He said, I'm not going to say you were right and I was wrong, but I'll be a son of a gun. He says, are we selling some straw hats? So, straw hats really are selling year-round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about color? Is color just a preference thing, or are there certain rules about color?
No, personal preference.
Yeah,
personal preference.
Black or tan or whatever.
Well, and then when you get into straw hats, like I'll use a black hat if I'm going somewhere really nice, it's more formal. Black coat, if you're really dressing up, I'll go with, a black hat. But
I can see it now, the cowboy version of what not to wear.
There you go. Yeah.
Ooh, a reality show.
You really
show.
Need that.
Yeah. What not to wear. Yeah. I'd be good for that.
It's the before pictures that are really fun.
Yeah. Anyway, and then, you know, I just like the variety. So I have a natural and a pecan and a silver belly, and just depends on, you know, the mood you're in that day.
Now, you were with Crew Girl, so you understood fashion. You were in
yep.
the fashion world.
Yep.
And that fashion changes season to season,
yes.
year to year. Do hats change as quickly, or are they a little slower?
No, a little slower. Okay. Hats are pretty timeless. I mean, you know, the cowboy hat's been around forever. It's pretty timeless. We do have some fashion things that come and go. We have a tendency to look at it from two directions. There's fads, and then there's fashion. A fad is something that's like a bottle rocket, goes straight up
yeah.
and straight back down. And so we try to stay away from fads, but if we see a fashion trend, like the new vented crown we have on our straw hat, we'll do that a couple of different ways to give them those options. We believe that's a trend and not a fad.
Okay. Gotcha.
And a vented crown is when the weave is done in such a fashion that it has little tiny holes in
yep,
it.
Yep,
okay.
yep, yep. It's got a lot of vents in it.
Doesn't
like
count
air conditioning.
Yeah. It doesn't yeah. count if it's your horse put the venting in the top.
That's right.
That's a
different.
Fashion
that's
what not
different.
To wear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's different.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
And now, how can you tell, if I'm just going to a store and I'm I just want a cowboy hat and I haven't done this before and I'm an English guy, you know, a lot of more English riders
oh, yeah.
are going Western
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
The 100 Jumper girls are wearing bling belts and bling shirts and, you know,
yeah,
they're wearing the cowboy boots now. And
stuff will cross over.
Yeah. How do you tell a good hat from just a hat?
Well, you know, first of all, in a straw hat, you're looking at the weave. How tight is the weave? How small is the straw? How intricate is the pattern? So we have a hat over there that's, you know, that's got a very intricate weave, a very intricate pattern. And then we have another straw over there. It's a poly rope that's a bigger straw, and the pattern is not as intricate. And it's a less expensive hat. So
it's kind of like fabric that way.
Kind of like fabric.
Okay.
Yeah, like a thread count on fabric. So
okay.
the smaller the straw, the tighter the weave, the more
Never
expensive
knew
the hat.
That.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's like thread count. Same
oh.
thing with shirts and sheets.
How interesting.
Interesting.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And we know how the felt works because Keith just very kindly showed us some really, really expensive felt hats and some not so expensive felt hats. And the really, really expensive ones are softer than the softest velvet you've ever touched.
Right.
It's just
right.
amazing. I just wanted to wear it on my face.
Yeah. But the body of the hat can, you know, still remain stiff and hold its shape.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I found interesting is when you said the touch, I thought, well, it's going to be soft like a scarf or something. But the tactile strength of it and the stiffness of it was the same. It was the touch when you ran your fingers across it.
Yeah,
makes you want to play with the brim of your hat.
Yeah, the owner of the company, Keith Maddox, he was blending some furs in Portugal. And so basically when you're blending furs, you're trying to get the right mix of fur. And he was talking to one of the guys that is an expert at this, and he was asking him about sable and a bunch of other things, chinchilla and that stuff to blend. And he said, you know, he says, no, he says, that just degrades the hat. The hat won't hold up. He said, well, what's best? The guy said, well, mink. And Keith says, well, how come we're not doing that? He said, because it's very expensive. And so Keith Maddox said, well, let's do a beaver belly and mink hat. And that's our 1000X hat.
I think people would be surprised that there's animal at all on the hat, a lot of people.
They don't associate it with a natural
right,
fabric,
right,
a natural
right,
product.
Right.
And really what it is, it's the fur off of the animal. So it's the fur, and they all get blended together. And there's a big, giant cone, if you will, almost like a dunce cap, an inverted dunce cap. That's got, it's metal, and it's got holes in it and it's sucking this hair. And the hair gets fed into it, and it's spinning. And all that hair, it's almost like dryer lint, gets sucked to that cone. And then they wrap burlap around it and keep it in its shape. And then what they do is they take it off, and the thing's about 4 feet tall, and it's thin, so it's like dryer lint. You put your finger through it, but then as they work that hair, the hair has little barbs on it. It starts to get tighter and tighter and tighter, and the tighter the weave, then, you know, the better the fur and the blend, the better the hat.
Who knew?
And so they, you know, like if you get a wool hat, I mean, that's not a real expensive hat.
And they're much softer, aren't they? Wool hat.
No, wool's going to be scratchy.
Okay, scratchy.
Like, yeah, it'd be like a scratchy kind of a feel to it. You'll
mm-hmm.
feel it when you run your hand across it. It just feels coarse. And then they start blending. Sometimes they'll do a wool and a hair,
mm-hmm.
rabbit blend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gets a little softer. But then once you start adding, you know, the beaver mm-hmm. to it, then it starts to really get soft. And there's beaver back,
mm-hmm.
and that's coarse hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's beaver belly, which is really, really, really soft hair. And so
never
know
all this
yeah.
stuff about a hat.
Yeah, so like our 500X is 100% pure beaver belly.
Mm-hmm.
Very soft hat, very great body.
But the softness does not affect its durability.
No. And that's the nice thing about buying a good hat. I tell this story all the time, is that in my home, I have a pub table with a picture of my grandfather on it from the 30s. He's on a horse, he's got his rope and his hat on. I wish I had his hat. So what I'm doing is, like all of my nice hats, I've got 3 grandkids right now and one on the way. I have 1000X hats and they all have their names in it.
Aww.
So I'll hand those hats down to my grandkids. And so they'll have something. My hats all have my name in them as well. They're embroidered in the...
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll have something for me. It's a personal. It's not like a pair of boots. It's not like a pair of jeans. It's not like a buckle or, I mean, it's something that I wore.
How about care? How about cleaning them and stuff? They do get dirty.
They do get dirty. Yep. And we refurbish hats. You know, so for like $100, you could have your hat totally redone. The linings taken out of it. All new linings.
So it's like ultra detailing on your car.
Exactly.
It's going to come back all clean and spiffy.
It comes back a better hat after it's been refurbished, because now it's got twice the amount of labor in it.
And
so it's all about the labor, the hand finishing. And so when we refurbish a nice hat, we take it all the way down to its original state, refinish it, re-put the linings in it, redo the sweats, and it's a brand new hat.
Well, this is the American Hat Company. One of the things that we failed to mention is you guys are out of Texas.
Yep.
And tell everybody where your hats are made, not in China.
No, they're all American-made right there in Bowie, Texas. And we're not a big giant factory that produces thousands of hats never touched by human hands. But on the flip side, we're not one guy making a hat in a cabin someplace.
Right.
One hat a week. So we have basically artisans. We've got a gentleman that's been with us for 40-some-odd years, and he's training the next generation on how to finish hats. He touches and finishes all of our 500s and 1000X hats, runs our factory. His name's Andre, and he is he's just phenomenal. He's a great, great hat finisher. But he's been with us for 40 years.
Well, tell us your website.
It's AmericanHatCo.net, and we're in Bowie, Texas, and it's been a great year for American Hat Company.
Well, thank you to Keith for joining us at the ADA conference. You know, one of the other things that we saw, Jamie, at ADA this week in some of the new stuff was people trying to create new manure forks, you know, that are super durable or that have, you know, that are ergonomic. And I think, Jennifer, we probably saw, three different companies, a couple from England, that were bringing over their manure forks, claiming that they were the best in the world. But none of them matched up to Equity's Flexin' Fork or the Shakin' Fork. They just didn't. You know, one of them, you know, they said, oh, you can do anything. You jump up and down on it. The tines won't break. And I did that. I jumped up and down on it. But then when I actually went to use the thing, the angle of the – I love this, too. The angle of the shaft was just at a weird angle, and I had to like bend over to use this fork. And I said to her, I said, the angle seems a little wrong. She said, well, you don't know how to do it.
Oh.
And I was insulted. Like, I had never cleaned a stall before in my life and haven't been cleaning stalls for 25 years. You don't know how to do it. You have to hold it down here. And I was like, that's just uncomfortable. So, you know, the one thing Equity does is they just do it right. They make a fork that works, it's durable, it's going to last, and none of them had that suspension system. And I know everybody laughs when we say that there's a manure fork with a suspension system, but they really do, don't they? They have a little suspension system built in, which makes the world of difference when you're cleaning stalls.
You know what? I found a new use for my Equity.
Oh, really?
We know that what?
I want to ask.
Yeah, well, see, when we had the big storm over the weekend, we had, you know, several days of rain. I know it's going to sound weird to the people that live in frozen temperatures right now, but my orange trees, I have a couple orange trees, and when it's like it's orange picking season. It's citrus season right now. It's time to pick them. Well, my orange trees all lost all their oranges because of the rain and the wind and everything. My backyard is littered with tiny little oranges. They're not very good to eat, but they're littered everywhere. So what I take is my flexion fork, and I just put it down on the ground, and I just walk forward, and it scoops like a trash compactor. It scoops up all these oranges. I can get so many oranges on my flexion fork that it's hard to lift up to put into the wheelbarrow. So I scooped up probably 10,000 oranges yesterday with my flexion fork. It was fantastic. So far, I have picked up horse manure, dog manure. I have picked up dead gophers. I have picked up oranges. I picked up everything with my flexion fork. It's the best. It is the best. And you're right. The suspension system is what kind of makes it more flexible, and it doesn't, you don't hit something and, you know, if that makes any sense. It just goes,
yeah,
and
I think
with the ground.
That definitely makes sense. Definitely makes sense. And the handle, you know, the shaft is just, it's just in the right place,
yeah,
that it's where you expect it to be, you know? And that
right,
was one of the
right
things we found over the weekend. It's just nothing matched up. And there were some expensive, you know, we say that Equity is a little bit more expensive than you're going to find the cheapy ones that break all the time. But it is not nearly as expensive as some of these things were. They had regular old manure forks that were supposed to be super durable and everything for $100. It's like, oh, just go buy an Equity. It'll cost you half of that. So check
you
out the flexion fork. Yeah.
Joseph from Equity was so nice. He, after hearing us talk about the jail and the prison and all that, emailed me asking if he could send the prison some flexion forks. And I was like, well, those guys have to clean the stalls with those big flat shovels, big flat plastic shovels, because they're not allowed to have the tines, I guess, to where they could make, I don't know, like a shiv out of it or something. I'm like, that's so nice. But yes, I think that, I don't think inmates deserve flexing forks. They're going to have to just suffer through.
What do you think they get to use, like cardboard ones?
They use shovels, like those big flat plastic shovels is how they clean stuff.
Yeah, I never thought about...
They don't get to use pitchforks.
Yeah. I never thought about the tines, but you're right. That could be used as a shiv pretty easily.
Yeah, so I said, let's just... you're so sweet, Joseph. Thank you so much for wanting to donate. Let's leave that alone.
EquityMFG.com for the best manure forks in the world. Well, we're going to take a break for our song here, but I got to tell you, I just got an email from Karen at Kentucky Performance Products, and she had a question for us. At the bottom of the email, she put, Jamie, it is 7 degrees with a wind chill of -8 today in Lexington, Kentucky. So.
Oh, God, I'm glad I don't live there anymore. I'm going to go pick my oranges, Karen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, today we have a little Dan Roberts for you. There's a little cowboy in all of us, and we'll be back with really bad ads. First one in a while.
Hey, Daddy, please help me. I sure need a hand. You see, I'm saddling up, but my pony won't stand. He's backed in the corner and he's kicking the wall. But since Mom moved that toy box, he's a little too tall. With his boots on the wrong feet, his holster tied low. Saddlebag saddle and a blankie bedroll. Little toy rifle he made from a broom. He'll ride across the prairie right there in his room. And in his mind he's out driving a herd toward the rail, headed north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'd love to ride with him, but that pony might bust. 'Cause there's a little cowboy in all of us. I said, son, where you headed? He answered, out west. Well, there's word they need riders on the Pony Express. Hey, I might be a scout, Dad, or a sheriff on TV. Any outfit could use a top hand like me. Well,
careful. Don't tie hard and fast. Take a deep seat if you're riding into the past. He said, I'll be back by supper, bedtime at most. He grabbed the reins, pulled his hat down, and he waved adios. And in his mind, he's out driving a herd toward the rail, headed north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'd love to ride with him, go stir up some dust. There's a little cowboy in all of us. You know, as I step from his world back into my own, I thought, we're no different. He might be little and I'm grown, but we both dream about places that neither one of us have ever been. Heck, I'm 4 and 40. I'm still playing pretend. I wish I was out driving a herd for the rail, headed north out of Texas on the old Chisholm Trail. I'll bury my new spurs in the ground till they rust. There's not a little cowboy in all of us. Just a little cowboy in all of us.
Well, that was Dan Roberts. There's a little cowboy in all of us. I thought I'd play that in honor of our discussion today about cowboy hats. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, here with a recovering Jamie Jennings, and then Coach Jen is over there in the producer chair. Today's show is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their products at kppusa.com. Well, I think it's about that time, isn't it, Jamie?
It's time.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for Really Bad Ads. And this week's Really Bad Ads winner is going to get a $25 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections for the whole universe of equestrian shopping at your fingertips at equestriancollections.com. Good prize. You're going to be able to buy whatever you want this week. And
yeah,
we got a lot of entries and a lot of new names I see here, Jamie.
Yes, we do. You know what that means, though, Glenn, is that when you get a $25 gift certificate to Equestrian Collections, there's no way you can limit yourself to $25 at Equestrian Collections. So this prize is going to cost you, but it's going to be totally worth it. It's going to be awesome.
$25 gift certificate is going to cost you $100.
Yep, exactly, but totally worth it. So check this out. I love it when you go shopping for Really Bad Ads, Glenn, because you don't just go to the horse section. You never find actual horse ads that are really bad. You find ridiculous ads, and I'm just going to let you read the ad you found about the cat.
Actually, I got to give credit where credit's due. Jennifer found this one for me to do today, so thank you, Jennifer. This is really good. Found, adorable, stupid cat. Please save him from himself. God, I have one of these. We found this guy in our backyard on 1217, yowling in the rain, even though we have an awning under which he could have been staying dry. That sounds like your cat that's on the roof all the time.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Decided, We decided to feed and water him and put him in our cellar overnight. First mistake. When I went to check on him this morning, his ass was sticking out of the ceiling. Yes, his ass was sticking out of the ceiling. He had thoroughly wedged himself between the beams and gotten himself stuck. I guess he was trying to be a basement cat and a ceiling cat at the same time. I rescued him again and brought him back inside where I gave him a bath, narrowly escaping with my life. He is now asleep on my bed. Alas, I cannot keep him because we already have four cats of our own. And you know, when you get past four, you become the crazy cat lady. Who needs a kitten? Kittens are cute, but this older model, approximately 2 or 3 years old, comes with all of these great features. A medium-length, silky black coat, freshly shampooed. A huge, soulful golden eyes that stare straight into your soul. He speaks all 37 dialects of Felinese and can sing. I think he's a tenor. Quality, deep, rumbling purr when contented. Litter box trained, two impressive testicles. And then she writes, you must be willing and able to take him to the vet and have him neutered and be vaccinated. This is non-negotiable. And his last redeeming quality is he is endearingly stupid. So there you go. If you can give this gorgeous idiot a home, please call. I love that ad.
Wow. That sold. Sold. She has five cats.
Can you imagine going to the basement? You know how all basements, when they're fixed up, they have those drop ceilings? You know, they have those drop ceilings with the panels. Can you imagine seeing the cat's ass sticking out of the drop ceiling, stuck, screaming his head off in the ceiling?
Poor kitty, kitty. All right, well, Martha Kohler sent this one in. What a weird thing to sell on Craigslist. This is just weird. The title, $1 will hatch your eggs. This is in Bark River, wherever that is, but it sounds pretty rural. I will be accepting eggs after Monday for hatching. I can hatch large amounts or just a couple. Call ahead for large amounts. $1 per egg. Call me Bark River. What on earth?
Do you want to know what I thought of originally when I read this? This is bad, though. It's bad. Well, she didn't say how she was hatching the egg, so I thought, my first thought was, is she sitting on them herself, you know? And then when she said, you have to call ahead for large amounts, I pictured her having a really fat sister with, you know, a really big butt, and she has to get her sister to come over to sit on those. That's where my mind goes, Jamie. It's just where my mind goes.
Wow, she has an incubator, but wow, why does she want to put it to use? I like your idea better. You win.
The Adrienne, who I think is a new, I don't remember Adrienne. So Adrienne sent in one. It was titled Three Bred Heifers. We can't get away from cows today. Three Bred Heifers, B-R-E-A-D, Bred Heifers. Three Bred Jersey Cross Heifers. We also have two not bred, yet all differently priced. Call or leave a voicemail. Now, every bread in that ad was spelled B-R-E-A-D, bread heifers.
They're yeasty.
You probably don't have to ferment that or pasteurize that milk.
There, it comes out pasteurized. Let's see. Beth sent in this mix. Oh, you have one more. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh yeah, Doreen said in this one. I'm stuck with all the breeding ones today. This is a bred mare, B-R-E-D mare, in North somewhere. 4-year-old appendix bred mare, bay, 15 hands, loads good and stands for the farrier. Calm, easy to catch, no papers. Now, that's, again, we start with the good stuff, right? And that right there, it's 15 hands, it loads good, it stands for the farriers, it's a mare, 4 years old, appendix, terrific to this point, and it's calm.
Easy to catch.
Yep.
Wow.
And then they do the next sentence. Needs experienced rider as she rears up from time to time. But I have led my kids around on her, and she don't do anything. I don't have time for her like she needs. She needs a job. has a big hay belly at the moment, is an easy keeper. She's a big baby. She has tons of speed and great potential to do barrels. She's not a spooky horse. All offers are appreciated and might possibly trade for a min pin puppy.
Oh, my God. God.
Okay, so here we have a huge, fat appendix quarter horse that rears, but she's led her kids around. Really smart there, lady. I got to tell you, that was smart.
You know what? She rears up with everybody, but she don't rear up with my children. Good God, why would you put your kids on a horse that rears? Stupid.
Oh, by the way, I love this too, Jamie. She has tons of speed and great potential to do barrels when she's not hugely overweight and about to founder.
Yeah, exactly, and rearing up and running backwards, so good luck with that. She might need some training. She might.
Yeah.
Oh, right. God. All right, Beth sent in this next one, and it's two horses for sale in Woodward, Oklahoma. $800, what a steal. I have two Goldings for sale, one, oh, there's no punctuation in this one. Oh, come on, Beth. I have two Goldings.
Jamie, before you go on, I got to tell you, when you weren't here on Wednesday, Jennifer and I were having a little fun at your expense. And when we were encouraging people to send in ads, we were encouraging them to send in the longest no punctuation ads they could find just to make you miserable today. So I have to confess, it's partly our fault. Sorry.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And knowing that I have a cold, I have no voice, and I really can't breathe, that's fun. This is fun. This will be good. All right. Two, and when I say geldings, they're G-U-L-D-I-N-G-S. Two Goldings for sale. One is about 4.5 broke good horses, my son, and jump on him bareback and ride him around. Wouldn't make good rope horse with right training. Haven't got that far yet. The second is 5-year-old gelding that has not broke and has some groundwork done and saddle put on, but no riding down. These are two nice-looking horses that need good, loving home. You can text or call me or email me. I'm asking $800 for the broke one, $200 for the other.
What?
I just read.
I know. I agree.
What's amazing is gelding is spelled differently twice, and both are wrong.
I do feel a little bit bad for you having to do that when you can't read. That's got to be tough.
Why is your son and jumping on him? Shut up.
Now, Jennifer, we keep saying Yudi's name wrong, right? How does she pronounce her name?
It's Uta, not Yuta.
Oh, it's Uta. Uta. Okay.
She sounds much better saying it. She's got the right accent.
She does. So I apologize, Uta. Uta. I'm going to get it right now. I'm going to get it right.
As long as she wins prizes, I don't think she cares how we say it.
Exactly.
Smart girl.
Hank, here's a title. This one's from Missoula, Montana. Hank, 15-year-old paint gelding, $1,500. Hank is an amazing horse. He is an outstanding trail horse, although he has to be with a buddy. He is sweet and smart. He gets along with other horses, but he does get picked on. When he's doing something naughty, just yell at him. That is all it really takes. He is a good kid's horse with someone on the trail, although he needs an intermediate in the arena. Wow, that's a first. Has a problem showing his back feet, but he does all right. He is sometimes used in English riding just a bit. He does not jump as I have tried before. The only reason for sale is I need a horse of a different discipline, and this one sucks. No, I added that.
Pretty much.
He's sweet and smart, but a little naughty, but you can just yell at him and he'll be fine. And oh, by the way, is this the first ad we've ever seen where the horse is bad in the arena and good on the trails?
Yes, I think so. I think you're exactly right. Like, oh, it's good in the arena, but man, he's kind of hard on the trail. So he's buddy sour, but he is a good boy, but she can't get him to jump, but he's been ridden English a little bit. It sounds to me like this girl just needs a trainer to take some lessons.
Yeah. Sounds to me like she's actually going to sell this $15 horse for about $300.
Yeah. Good luck. Robin, thank you. It's a punctuation-free ad. Thank you, Jennifer and Glenn, for soliciting for that. Black gelding. Like, this is very descriptive. Black gelding. Remember that these people are trying to sell these things. Who's going to buy? Okay. I'm curious if anybody actually buys things like this. 7-year-old registered 15-hand black and white gelding, super smooth to ride, great gates, fun, gentle trail horse. JR is one of the most loving horses, does ever tend to be more dominant towards other geldings, but is wonderful with mares. He is easy to catch, trailers well, bathes, cliffs, and stands great for the farrier. No shoes ever, needs great legs and feet, takes his blanket great, and saddles, bridles wonderful. Junior loves to go for trail rides, will beg for attention, first one to you in the pasture. He is very quiet on trails and has been rode in the mountains, worked with cattle, and has ropes swung all over him. If not reminded, can get in your pocket. LOL, email for more info and pics. I do not want to sell JR Jr., but need new horse trailer. Mine broke, so I would trade him for a horse trailer or take best offer to good home. All shots done, teeth done, and have prev clear, vet check done.
This is a perfect horse. I don't see anything wrong with this horse.
He's perfect, except for can't get a dang period in the sentence anywhere. Jeez.
I don't know who sent in this horse trailer ad, Jennifer. Did we have a name on it? Do you know?
I have to look it up for you.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't in the ad here. So we got our horse trailer picture of the week, which thank you. Everybody knows we like to post a picture on Facebook of a crappy horse trailer. This one has a rather interesting paint job. It's an $800 horse trailer, and I love the fact that it's still the typical two-horse with the round front and the window horse trailer that we've seen in these ads for the last 2 years. But this one has a custom paint job, and it looks like they maybe took a paintbrush and they painted it this sort of burgundy, reddish color. And then to add an accent tone, they painted the bottom of where it's all rusty black so you wouldn't see the rust. So it's got this burgundy, beautiful paint job up top and with this black undertone all the way around the bottom to hide the rust. But I got to say...
It looks like a spaceship from a 1970s movie.
That's exactly what it looks like. It might have been on one of the weird planets that Captain Kirk beamed down to in the original Star Trek show.
We're overselling.
Yeah.
We're overselling.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Of course,
but
it
has
the window.
But the tires aren't flat, but the windows are broken. Yes. But the tires are not flat. And it looks like it has a jack that might actually work, which would be something different in these ads, too. So, yeah.
What a steal. $800.
So thank you to whoever sent that. Sorry, we don't know your name.
You got the next
one. I have the next one, too. Shauna sent this one in. Purebred Nubian Buck, $300. I always get these. Purebred Nubian Buck, $300. He is coming 2-year-old, reddish-brown, solid purebred Nubian Buck. He is very well in...
No, she did not.
Okay, let me start over. He is a coming 2-year-old reddish brown. I'm blushing. He is a coming 2-year-old reddish brown solid purebred Nubian buck. He is very well endowed and a good breeder. I've never seen that written about a goat before. He comes from Jacob's Pride. He comes from Jacob's Pride breeding and will give you great kids.
Oh, you lost it. Give me to read the rest.
I can't do that.
So he's very well endowed, and he's a great breeder. He'll give you great kids. I've decided to sell him to go a different direction with my does. Just talk different. Their does. Her does. The girl goes. You've got to pull yourself together. I'm asking $300. He will also walk on a leash and kennels well. He is a great companion for horses, as he does not chew on their tails. Please call if interested.
He He's a great companion for horses when he's not trying to hump them.
He is a goat that walks on a leash and has a big wiener. Jesus. Keep the laughing going because this next one is pretty awesome.
I can't do it. Go ahead.
I'll do the next one. This came in from Misa Dickinson. Sorrow Quarter Horse Gledding. Sorrow Gledding.
A what?
It's a Sorrow Quarter Horse Gledding. What is wrong with these people? This is $1,000 in Rimrock, wherever that is. Sorrow Gledding Quarter Horse with Blaze Face. Stands 14, 3 to 4 hands tall. This is where just typing one letter that is off next to the letter you meant to type can be very tricky. Because they wrote, he is very sticky, blue eyes, with black around his eyes and white eyelashes. So the I is right next to the O. Do you think they meant to say he's very stocky?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out, too. He's very sticky. And then that came right after the well-endowed breeder, so I don't know.
God! Ew! He is very sticky, blue eyes with black around his eyes and white eyelashes. He is well-break. You touch him anywhere. He is well-mannered. He needs another horse as a mate. He is, okay, what is this? He is side-stepped, trained, and halter broke. He is 10 years old and shod. He eats 2 flakes 3 times a day and beet pulp at night with Diatomaceous. Ask for Ginny because it's her horse, but Dara's going to answer the cell phone, but Ginny will only take cash on pickup.
You know what this is? They don't even own the damn horse. They're selling somebody's horse right out of the field, and they don't even know about it. That's what's happening here.
Ask for Ginny, because it's her horse, but Dara's going to answer the phone, but Ginny's going to take your cash. Oh, my God. That's a fantastic ad. I don't understand what size. This horse is 10 years old, and he's only sidestep trained and halter broke. So good luck with that. Good luck selling
that.
What
is sidestep trained, Jennifer? Does that mean that, I don't know what that means.
It's something that sticky gleddings do, okay? Only sticky gleddings.
He goes to my games on Thursday nights at the local pub.
Sad sticky gleddings. Because remember, well, it was Sorrow Quarter Horse Gilbert. This whole ad is sad.
Sorrow Quarter Horse Gledding that's sticky.
Thank you, Misa. Well, this next one is a kid's miniature gelding. And this has a picture. Jennifer, you have to post this whole ad on Facebook. It's a kid's miniature gelding, $350 in Hamilton. I have the cutest little 31-inch miniature gelding. He is a super kid's pony. He has pulled a sled. Been in the Murdoch's Halloween costume contest. Also, my daughter can ride him around lead line. He is far too small for kids over 3 to ride, though. He will be 3 this spring. I would like to get $350 for him, or I'll trade for 2 tons of hay. This little guy, the picture of the little daughter with her little glasses on in a pink unicorn outfit for Halloween, and the little poor black gelding is painted this god-awful shade of pink and red with purple legs. How long do you think it took to get that thing out?
I'm sorry. First of all, I think this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. And the second thing is, I would like to think that 2 tons of hay to trade for this pony, I think that 2 tons of hay is way more valuable than a 31-inch gelding, mini gelding. I mean,
at least it's a gelding and not a stallion. That's something.
That's true. It is actually castrated. We should give them a prize. But this little kid with the little unicorn thing, I'm feeling very maternal right now. And to see this little girl with this little costume on with a little pink pony, it's just the cutest thing ever. So they get the cute award for today.
Yes,
sure.
They do. They definitely do. That is cute. It's very cute. Well, we're going to end. Yeah, let's wrap with that. Jennifer, we'll use the rest of those next week, if you could just save those for next week. Sorry if we did not get to yours today. We had a bunch of them. I think the winner has to go to Misa. What do you think with the very sad quarter horse Gledding, that's Sticky?
The Sorrow Sticky Gledding. I like that one. I like Shauna Kroll's, but I think Shauna just won, so we'll give it to Misa because I don't think she's ever won. So, Misa, you get that $25 gift certificate to Equestrian Collections. Congratulations!
Shauna Kroll, you definitely get second place, though, with the well-endowed breeding gun.
That's great, Shauna. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad you got through the day there, Jamie. I appreciate you being here, and I know how hard it is to talk and carry on and try and have fun when you're sick, so we really appreciate
I'm gonna go feed and go back to bed, so this has been fun. At least I did something today. I can say I accomplished something.
if it's possible, you got stuffier as the show went on today. So
I know. I'm sorry.
Well, hopefully by Monday you'll be back to normal and perky as could be.
If not, I'm going to have a very, very injured husband. It's his fault I'm sick.
Well, you have a terrific weekend, everybody. Don't forget all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Jennifer and I are heading over to a driving show that's at the Florida Horse Park, beautiful horse park here in Ocala. We're heading over to see that tomorrow. And then we are doing something tomorrow night that Jamie just yearns to do because, you know, secretly Jamie lives in the South and she's a redneck but won't admit it. So we are going to the tractor pulls tomorrow night. I know that is something that you want to do. And
yeah, not at all. Not really, no, not at all. So good luck with that. Have fun. That'll be fun. Take pictures.
Yeah, we will. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time at the tractor pulls in Ocala. So if you're heading over there, look for us. We'll be there. See you, everybody.
All right,
have a
everybody.
Great...
Say, neuter, and yell. Enjoy. Have a good weekend. Take some vitamin C.